Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. So, most of you remember the message last week. Matt took us into 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and was talking about the gifts and how the body is made of many parts and how it's just one body, how we all work together to share. And then the last sentence that he spoke last week was, and now he says, I will show you the most excellent way. I've entitled the lesson today, The Most Excellent Way. We're going to go on into chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians today. When he read that verse last week, I knew then that that's what the Lord wanted me to speak on this week, and I argued with him all week. I really didn't get the message together till Friday afternoon, I guess it was. And he just told me that morning that I want you to go on with this lesson next week. And I thought, but they all know exactly what the love chapter is and what it says. And he just, I argued with him. I just, I should know better than to argue with God, but I did. And so anyway, we're going to be in chapter 13 today as we go on. But what it's talking about is love. We can't do any of these things as a body of Christ unless we do it in love. I've been in the church all my life. I'll just put it that way. Since I was a wee baby and a child, I've been in church. Our family was in church, and so I've seen things that were done by Christians who didn't do it in love, and it tears people apart. And many of you know people who have left the church because of something that happened in the church that they didn't like, and they never went back. So we have to be a group of people that loves one another, that cares for one another. And so we're going to be looking at the marks of love today. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I thank you today for the message that you have for the church today. Thank you for your love, Father, that you loved us first. You chose us to be your children. And you put each one of us in the body here, in the church here. And Lord, we thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for all of these dear people that you've put together here at Open Arms. And so, Father, as we listen to what you're saying here today, I ask, Father, that you'll give us ears to hear, that we'll take it to heart, Lord, that we'll begin to love as you want us to, and just to care for one another. So, Father, as I speak today, speak through me. Don't allow me to get in your way at all today, but Lord, I just want to bring what you have today. And Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying in Jesus' name. Amen. So, chapter 12 and 13, it ends there with this one sentence. It says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and you all know that Matt went through the gifts last week and talked about them before he talked about one body, many parts. And that's what Paul begins with here in chapter 13. He said, If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. When I read that verse, I had to think of Patsy and I watch Andy Griffith a lot of times in the evenings, and there was one of the latest episodes. Barney come in from an auction he had been to somewhere. Anyway, he come in with a pair of cymbals, and He was just walking around, just cracking them things behind Andy's head. And Andy was holding his ears and just couldn't stand the noise because it was so loud. And he was just, but Andy, or Barney wanted to be part of the band, so he got him some cymbals so he could be part of the band. And I had to think of that. That's what doing these things for the Lord is if we don't do it in love. It's worthless. It's like just a loud noise. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And then these little short verses here in 4 through 8 are, in my Bible, they're titled the marks of love or characteristics of love. And we're going to go through these today, but I just want to go ahead and finish reading. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So you all know that without faith and hope and love, we can't be part of the kingdom of God. We have to have faith to believe God exists because we don't see him. So it takes faith to believe that. And our hope is for eternal life. We hope for a lot of things, don't we? And so that's part of it. But without love, the greatest of these is love. And that's what we're going to look at today, is these marks of love. And so the first one, it says love is patient. Now, patience is not something that all of us have. I think probably my mother was the most patient person I ever knew. She was just a... Mom was, well, she raised 9 of us children, and 5 of us were boys, and 4 of us were close to the same age, so we got into a lot of stuff that we shouldn't have, but Mom was always patient with us. We got a few spankings when we needed them, but she was really a patient woman, and when I think of patience, I think of Mom. So I looked up patience, or patient in the dictionary. I kind of wanted to just describe what each one of these actually means, what it means to be patient. It's long-suffering or tolerant, refusing to be provoked or angered. Forbearing is what the dictionary says. So that's why I say sometimes for some of us it's hard to be patient because we want to get angry right away or argue. It's our nature. We have to work at being patient. We have to work at being forbearing or loving when we want to be angry. So we have to learn to put our anger away. 2 Timothy 4:2. I've got written for that one, and I don't have it written down, so I'm going to have to go there. 2 Timothy 4:2. I guess you have it up here. I don't know. I better quit looking and just look up here. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Yeah, just remind me, Julie, that you've got it on the board, and I don't need to keep switching around like that. Thank you. So I found in these four verses, I think there's 15 different characteristics of love here. And the second one I found is kindness, being kind. Dictionary says it is being loving, affectionate, gentle, tender-hearted, and generous. And that one is Ephesians 4:7. Some of the verses I wrote after, I have them here, but some of them I didn't. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So he gives us the grace to be kind. It's neat how God, different times during the day or during the week, will give you just random acts of kindness that you can do. And Karen was just describing one of those to me this morning that happened to her this week, that she was able to just be kind to someone when they needed it. Not somebody that she knows real well, but just somebody that she was in contact with this week. And those are the kind of things that Christians do for one another, for neighbors, for friends, for people that you don't know, when God tells you to. That's why we have to pay attention to what he tells us each day, each hour, each minute of the day, so that we can do those little random acts of kindness. The third one says it does not envy. So envy, as you know, is a desire for some advantage or quality that another has. We want what somebody else has. Maybe it's something they have, but we're not to be envious. We're not to do that. So Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." We don't want to have rotten bones. So we want to stay away from envy. So these are all good qualities, not just for the church, but they're good qualities for spouses as well, as we're actually going down through them. The fourth one says it does not boast. And that's, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, being humble. Humility is probably one of the qualities that a Christian needs more than anything else, is humility. We can't be proud in what we do. We can't be boastful and arrogant. And humility is the absence of pride or self-assertion. And in Proverbs 22:4, it says, "Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life." So keep your humility, be humble, walk without pride, without being a proud person. Number five is not proud. Pride is arrogance or haughty spirit. And Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." And this is just like another one that Sunday school class is going to say, that's repetitious. We just heard that. Those are some of the verses we talked about this morning in our class time. And number six, love is not rude. Rudeness is discourteous, unmannerly, or uncouth. And Philippians 1:9-11, Julie. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So, we're to not be rude, we're to be courteous and have manners, be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Number seven, it says we are not selfish. I've talked about selfishness before, and it's how it's not about me. So we can't be a selfish person at all. Selfish, it says, nobody should seek his own good but the good of others, and that's in 1 Corinthians 10:24. So we are not selfish. And number eight, we are not easily angered. And that goes back to patience, back up at the top there. Love is patient, love is kind. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The ninth mark says it keeps no record of wrongs. I've known people who can remember if somebody wronged them 30 years ago and they haven't forgotten it yet. We have to be forgiving. When you keep in records of wrongs people do you, it's only hard on you because you're the one that is going to suffer from it. It's being charitable and overlooking mistakes. Proverbs 17:9 said, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So it's important that we don't keep track of the wrongs that people cause, or if somebody hurts you, forgive and let it go. And the tenth one says, we do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. So we want to please God. Try to always do what's right. Psalms 119, 14 through 16, Julie. Psalms 119, 14 through 16. Maybe I should give you the verse before I get into it. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees and will not neglect your word. So, as we're taking care of not delighting in evil and rejoicing with the truth, we have to remember to spend time in the Word, to learn what God wants, to pay attention to what He says, and try to do what's right all the time. But without knowing the Word of God, it's hard to know what's right and wrong, because this is a really good map for us to follow every day as we walk with Jesus. Number 11, love always protects. You take care of each other. Pay attention to what others' needs are. Protection is forbearance, or to endure, to tolerate, to keep oneself in check, and take care of those you love. You always protect those that you love. You just take care of them. And number 12 says they always trust. And that's something you have to learn, isn't it? you have to learn that you can trust. You can always trust. And I've said this before as I was preaching. I've learned to trust God because of all the things that He's brought me through. You know, we all have troubles in this life. We all have things that we have to go through to get through life. And I've learned that God brings us through those so that we can learn things. Apparently I'm a hard learner because I have a lot of I've had a lot of trouble in my life. I've had a lot of things that were hard. They were just really hard to come through. Most of you know my testimony. And but I told God that when I was 19 years old that if He spared my life, I would serve Him, and I've tried to do that. It's not always been easy, and it won't be for all of you either. It's not always easy, but we can learn to trust Him. God doesn't fail us ever, and we have to learn to trust one another as well. So I've learned in my years in the church that as Christians who love one another, we have to be vulnerable. We have to be willing to share all that we are with each other. Don't try to keep secrets from one another, but just if you know something that if you know you've offended somebody in a way, go to them and ask for forgiveness. That's why God puts us together so that we can learn to work together, to share together, and do it in love without hurting one another. We can just learn to trust each other and learn to that can happen all the time. And trust, it says, is confidence in the honesty, integrity, liability, justice of another person. It's faith and reliance. You're reliable. You learn to be reliable to one another. And in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see." So when you trust someone else, you have faith in them. You just learn that you can be, that they're dependable, they're reliable, and they won't hurt you. The 13th one says, we always hope. Love always hopes. It's a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Something you desire will happen. You have hope that this will happen. And so... Psalms 147, verse 11 says, "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." And we've learned to put our hope in His unfailing love, haven't we? Every time we take communion together, we're reminded of His love and His going to the cross for us. And the 14th one says that love always perseveres. To continue in some effort or course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Or steadfast in purpose. It's kind of you stick with it. You don't give up when it's tough. John 6:27 says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval." And then the 15th one, love never fails. I didn't look for a verse for that. I didn't really know what to look at in the dictionary for that, but you all know what that means, that love doesn't fail. You just, you don't fail somebody else. You stick with them, and you work together to work through whatever the problems are and whatever comes your way. I want to finish up today in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 16. So verse 7 is a verse that says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And so that's us talking about the gifts that he's given. And then down in verse 11 is where I actually want to start. It says it was God who gave some of us to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So when Matt was sharing last week, God told us that there's one body, many parts. We all have different things that we do in the body of Christ. We all have different talents or different gifts that he's given us. I would encourage you today to figure out what your gifting is so that you know where you're supposed to be in the body of Christ. Figure out your gifting, what God has blessed you with, what you enjoy doing. The desires of your heart are the things that God has gifted you with. And if you, that's why, so the church works as we do in our jobs. So that's why I tell you as young people to pick an occupation that you love. Pick out what you love to do, and that's what you want to work at, because that's what you spend the most of your life doing, is working. I have always loved my job. I've been building since 1971, I guess. Just learned to build buildings and different things, and I love going to work, and that's why I'm still working at 73. How old are we? 72, 73? That's why I'm still working, because I love it. I love what I do. I especially love it now because Jax is working with us as well. I've worked with my son since he was 8 years old, and him and I work together well. And I've noticed that even with Jax as well. We don't really talk much at work. We all just work together, do our thing, and we know what to expect from the other one, and it just works well. And it's just kind of cool, and I want to keep doing it. So that's better to me than sitting around, and I have to have something to do anyway. So pick something you like. But God in the church prepared all these different things that have to be done, need to be done. So as young people, ask the Lord, what am I gifted at? What can I do in the body of Christ? Can I be a teacher, a pastor? Should I be an evangelist or a prophet in the church? An apostle? What does God want me to do in the church? So I think of it more than probably Matt does. I would actually like to... some of you young men to begin to pray now. Does God want me to be a pastor? I don't know how old I'll be when the Lord's done using me. I don't know how long I'll live, but when I'm this old, I know that I need a replacement coming up. I need some young guys coming up to fill the spot. We don't want the church to ever die out. So you young people, ask the Lord, what can I be? What can I? Where can I serve in the body of Christ? What do you want me to be? Because that's as I started as an elder in the church when I was 23 years old. So I was pretty young to be an elder, but that's how God trained me to be a pastor. Elder, you know, elder or pastor is the same in the Bible, in the Greek or Hebrew, whatever. I don't know. I don't ever go back there like Matt always. That's why I miss Matt. He just always told us what the Greek or Hebrew words were and why they meant what they do. And I have never been able to do that. I probably should spend some time in studying that, I suppose. But start training now, and God will put you in the position that He wants you to be in. Wasn't ever expecting to be a pastor. I didn't. That wasn't something that I desired as a young person. But that's where God has me now, and I love it that He. If He gives you a job, He gives you the tools to do it with. He gives you the ability to do what He asks you to do. He doesn't ask you to do something that you can't do. And that's awesome about God. So all of these different positions there, verse 12 says, they're to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that is just a really good summary of what chapter 13 says in 1 Corinthians. So just remember that we're all working together for the good of the church. And for God, for what He's called us to be. And so, don't forget how to love. And just pay attention to every one of these characteristics of love. That there's, like I said, some of them I'm good at, some of them I'm not. I have to work at it. I have to work at it. And so, as you prepare to... You young people, especially, prepare your lives to start doing what God wants you to do. Just ask Him, what service would you like me to do? Because He does want each one of us to serve in the church and be a part of the church, to build each other up, to encourage one another, to take care of one another and love one another. So as you go this week, pay attention to that. Come and do a final song. And if any of you have a prayer need this morning, we'd love to pray with you. Matt and Jesse and I will be here to pray with you. And that is it.